to the Jimbo Haddon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626, and we examine the situation regarding Walmart and the women who are suing Walmart and the larger implications of what constitutes a class action lawsuit with Jacqueline Madunamé, an expert in legal and women's issues, and Dr. Leah Hollis, who covers workplace discrimination. Dr. Hollis, this is one example here. Give us a broader perspective, if you would, of just what you see taking place in America's workplaces that shouldn't be happening.
Well, what's interesting is I believe a number of employers just simply need to have education on how to avoid these types of situations. A lot of time, large corporations have those very passive trainings where you point and click and agree that you have read something in the midst of some conference call or other activity you have on your desk. But when it really comes to how you're treating your employees, how you're working with them when it comes time to promotion, or at any step in the employment process, from the moment you post the job position to the moment you promote, demote, or separate. And a lot of employers are making unwitting mistakes, and because employees have access to the internet, the EEOC, and they're more educated. The EEOC had a record number of complaints filed last year, topping close to 100,000. So what I find is the trend is coming, especially in this economic time. Managers are perhaps a little bit more desperate to make those fiscal decisions, and employees are finding, I have nothing to lose, you've already terminated me, except now they have the information on where to go.
Mm-hmm. To a call from Melinda in Iowa City, Iowa. Hello, Melinda. Hello, what's up, Vermont?
I have a quick question. The women that have this lawsuit, with Walmart being such a large company, I'm sure they have their protocol on how they do things. Is there documentation that these women actually put in for a promotion and got turned down, or are they just crying that now?
Interesting point. I don't know if either of you have access to the particular situation. They do claim discrimination, whether they applied for and were denied a promotion or simply felt that the promotions were being handed out in a way that was obviously not based on either seniority or merit. Do either of you happen to know?
Interestingly enough, I read through some of the declaration summaries for this case, and many of the women were asked to participate in the training program. And some of the recent statutes are saying that whether you put your request in writing or it's oral, you, the employee, are putting the organization on notice that you wish to be promoted or that you are claiming discrimination or whatever else it is. So even the oral request can stand. And many women are saying they have repeatedly asked to be promoted and trained while they watch their male counterparts get put forward.
All right. So the answer is, Melinda, yes, they did ask.
Yes, they did.
All right.
All right, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Are we talking about areas besides, pay and promotion? I'm not sure what else, but I guess we could get into simple sexual harassment in the workplace. We'll start with Ms. Madunamé here. I thought this was pretty well settled in terms of at least where you stood before the law, that this kind of behavior wouldn't be tolerated. Obviously, there will be exceptions to that, but in terms of how institutionally we deal with this stuff, I thought it was pretty much cut and dried. You get caught doing it, then you're in trouble.
Well, yes, I mean, and that's, it's the laws are explicit in that, but how every individual manager or supervisor at their workplace deals with it is different. And you know, much to Dr. Hollis's point, when these trainings are given out, it's pretty much point and click. And, you know, not much thought really goes into making people very aware of what the implications are of certain behavior at the workplace, and it does still go on.
I would think that there's not a whole lot of discretion, Dr. Hollis, left to the employer. I mean, the rules are the rules, and I would hope that there's not a whole lot of wiggle room here. Again, obviously, any rule can be carried too far, and we've all seen cases of people in which people thought they were, quote, joking around, and that rebounded heavily on them. I'm well aware of the situation in many workplaces where, in terms of camaraderie between the sexes, you just shut your mouth up and you do your job, and joking around, forget about it. If you're smart, you will never engage in anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the truth of the matter is policies are words on paper, and while policies and laws and legislation can be very powerful when people enact them, it also takes people to move forward with those policies and apply them properly. So once again, if you have unwitting managers who just simply say, I didn't harass her, but moved ahead and promoted all the men in the department, they're unwittingly participating in disparate treatment. So it can simply be that they know the policies, but really have not learned the proper application to them, and they're being called on it.
This is a call from Adam in Geneva, Alabama. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Jim. This is Adam. Yeah, I wanted to ask your guest, I'm a union member, and I wanted to ask your guest if they thought, you know, if these women would have been under a collective bargaining agreement. I know we have women working where I am, and they're treated fairly, you know, under a collective bargaining agreement. If we wouldn't even be going through this, you know, if they were under a collective bargaining agreement.
Interesting question. I don't happen to know, frankly, how many of those 3,400 Walmart outlets are, in fact, unionized. I wasn't really aware that any of them were. Do either of you know?
As I understand, Walmart really does not encourage their
employees. They don't encourage it, but of course,
no.
In a right to work state, you can pretty much pull that. But of course, Walmart is not only ubiquitous; it's everywhere, as they say. and therefore, they're in a lot of states where, in fact, you'd be in pretty serious trouble if you tried to prevent collective bargaining. But Adam brings up a great point. This is the very kind of thing that your union ought to be your first resort, and a lawyer your last resort.
I would agree with that. I mean, I come out of Greater Philadelphia, which is a very strong union town, and unions really can prevent these types of things from happening by having your union rep there on the first time you were passed over or the first time that pay increases were put out. So in that sense, perhaps Walmart shot itself in the foot by not allowing unions, which could have prevented some of these things in the first place.
I wonder, are you familiar with Ms. Madunamé, with the status of Walmart and unions? Because as I say, I've never heard of a union unit in a Walmart store, but then again, I don't know that many Walmart stores.
No, I am not familiar with any union units within Walmart. Right. I'm not even sure it's something that they have.
All right, more to come. We'll be right back. Jim Bohannon Show, 1-866-50-JIMBO is our number. We're looking at the lawsuit that is now before the Supreme Court of the United States. Remarkable, but it made its way all that way. It took forever. I think the attorney for the one of the plaintiffs earlier said they've been in court for 10 years now, but finally some resolution, even if it is only kicking it back to lower courts, that remains an option. Some resolution should be coming up come June. Jacqueline Madunamé, your take on some of the issues that I asked Dr. Hollis about, things that are happening in the workplace of which we might be otherwise unaware that may go beyond what's at issue in this case.
I mean, things going on in the workplace, I mean, there are so many actions that go beyond what, you know, overlook corporate policies. There's sexual discrimination, and
I was going to say, obviously, we've got the pay issue here.
The pay issue
and promotion, right?
Yeah.
I guess harassment, is that still a major factor?
Is still a major factor that goes on, and, you know, be it through jokes or through things that are said, and it's, I didn't mean, you know, it wasn't meant, it was meant as a joke, or if you want to work in the male environment, this is how we talk and this is how we act, and so, you know, you have to fit in. There is the retaliation issue as well. So a lot of the things that has been fought against, and then there is also, you know, even not very overt, but also, you know, racism, gender, and, you know, obese, you know, people that are overweight being overlooked for certain positions because that's not the image they want to project of the company.
That's an interesting thought. Very quickly, I want to add, what's your take on that? About 30 seconds here. If you deal in a sales capacity, let's say, and you are not a very attractive individual, for whatever reason, is there a legitimate reason why the company must be forced to have you deal with the public? Can't they give you a comparable job where you're not dealing with the public?
Is there a legitimate reason why they should move you out of there? I mean, they hired you in that role in the first place, knowing what you look like.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then, all right, very good. That elapses our time here. Stay on the line. We'll speak off air again as we talk with Jacqueline Madunabe and Dr. Leah Hollis, the issue, the Supreme Court battle regarding discrimination. We'll be back.